Hello and welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
And I'm Tom Scholey.
Going to take a journey through a sketchbook of Charles Burns today, so some eye candy for everybody out there. Before we do, Ed, tell us about Red Room.
Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit is the name of the game in the Red Room universe. These comics are hitting the stands pretty much every 4 weeks. Each issue completely self-contained. So if you see an issue, grab an issue. You don't necessarily have to have issue one to understand issue three, which is coming out July 28th, I believe.
Wow.
The machine is running, Jimmy. You could read the comics ahead of time on my Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor. $3 gets you the archive over there. Have over 100 pages worth of comics being serialized. New strips every Tuesday. More than 5 issues worth of stuff.
How about you, Tom? Where can people find your work?
You can check out Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics. It's the biography of Jack Kirby done in comic book form by 10 Speed Press. You can also check out my Patreon, where I'm putting up all the new comics I'm working on. That's go to patreon.com, search Tom Scholey. And I have a YouTube channel called Total Recall Show, and we just recently reviewed the new director's cut of Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
You can join me on patreon.com/JimRugg, where I post my out-of-print zines and mini-comics. I just posted this Street Angel sketchbook from 2013, and actually just found the files for this as part of the reason that I posted it. I also post a lot of original art there, process stuff, scripts, notes, things of that nature, basically the way I make comics. You can find all of that and a lot of artwork that you can't find anywhere else on patreon.com/JimRugg. But we're here today to basically enjoy Charles Burns' art. I'm a huge fan. I can't remember exactly where I picked this up, probably SPX. Burns would do a lot of, I think he's big in Europe, so he would do a lot of these books that come out by a French publisher, and if you're lucky, you come across one, because they aren't always easy to find, and they're expensive on the aftermarket. But this one, there were 1,000 copies printed of this, and the gimmick for this book is his daughter was taking piano lessons, and he would sit there and try to figure out something to do, and he struggled to concentrate, he couldn't work on his own comics, so he stumbled onto this thing where he was taping down like a photocopy or an image on the left side of his sketchbook, and then drawing it on the right side. And all of these are cataloged in the back. There's an index so that if you see an image and you're like, what issue of Dirty Plot is this from? That's written down in the back. But it's kind of fun to see him essentially studying other artists. And I figured we'd just kind of flip through and enjoy this, see what you recognize, what you don't. Julie Doucette, Dirty Plot, one of my favorite comics out of that alt-90s scene. But then anyone who knows Charles Burns knows he's into those 50s genre kind of comics. So you'll get that stuff too. Sometimes you get Burns doing himself. It's a pretty wide spectrum of what he's copying, and then also how much he's copying it and where his own hand comes in. So,
yeah, I rarely do any of this kind of thing, like the copying, but the few times I have, I get so much out of it.
I know.
I really should do it more.
It's
copy buff.
it's one of those. It's how we all start, and for some reason, you just drop it off. I feel like a part of it is ego, where you're like, I need to figure out how to draw my own stuff. But you really do learn a lot of stuff from copying other artists.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, like art schools all do that. Often it's in a museum or something, you know, the stuff that you're copying. But that idea of artist copying is something that goes back through time. Like, it's always been a part of most art practices, and especially art development and art ed.
And like, we talk about, like, the power of, like, being a lifelong student. And it's like, you know, Charles Burns wasn't too proud, you know, well into his career to, like, you know, do this kind of thing. So there's a lesson.
It's fun seeing him doing contemporaries, like a Dan Clowes. I guess that's Lloyd Llewellyn, probably. I don't think that's 8-Ball.
Oh, no, you know what that is,
man? Oh, Blab?
Blab, yeah, with the typography, for sure.
Doing himself here, and a very different interpretation of that sketch.
One thing I absolutely adore is that, you know, a sketchbook generally, like, you know, that can imply a loose hand, but he can't allow himself to do something like that.
Yeah, these are pretty crisp images.
And some of the stuff, I don't know. I think this might be from Steven.
Yeah.
But it's so funny, because once you get back into, say, 50s funny animal comics or some of the, you know, Golden Age and Silver Age stuff that I just don't know, it's really hard to distinguish a panel from who knows what, a cartoony 90s artist. Like, this, I think, is Burns, but yeah. I was also looking at it and thought, like, it's very Clive Barker-esque, too, if you've ever seen some of his black and white pen and ink kind of work. It's fun, too, seeing him doing stuff in pen.
Yeah.
Not just I guess brush pen is probably what a lot of the brush stuff is in this book. I can't imagine he's hauling like an inkwell out to the to the recital hall. You know, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, it's S. Clay Wilson.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay, I was going to say it looked like a black and white explosion kind of.
Yeah, it could be any of that stuff, right? Underground, it could be some old horror weird thing. Could be like a European. There's a wide range of where this stuff's coming from. Like this looks like a coming from a Japanese magazine.
Vinyl toy. He has that wing of his career, by the way. Like the weird vinyl toys.
It always kills me that I never picked those up. Phantom used to have those, and now they're just impossible to find. And I think they're really cool, but was not buying toys at the time, or now for that matter. But I'd do a mulligan on those if I had the chance. Not sure what that's from.
Mm-mm.
That's the thing. Like, whenever you pull these panels out and photocopy them, it becomes kind of hard to distinguish what they are, unless you recognize the artist, you know, Crumb or something like that. It becomes very hard to know exactly what you're looking at. It reminds me of the comic art in the studio book where they show his dad's, like, clippings of comic strips, you know, just like pieces of comic strips, right? Profiles, headshots, stuff like that.
Some of these might be in there, actually.
Yeah, it could be. It really feels like something that would grow out of that kind of a collection.
Is it like vintage Walt Kelly?
I don't know. Have to check the back. And then he does this where he, there's a couple of these drawings that he'll do again and again where he's like Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox, where now he's drawing based on his drawing and it becomes, you know, it's almost like, you know, whisper the secret in the ear and go around the room and see what comes back. Like three or four versions later, you have no recognition of what the original drawing would have been.
That is awesome. I have no idea what that comic is.
It's almost like a Gilbert Hernandez or something, that left side. This one's pretty famous because I think it went on to be an SPX annual cover. Yeah. So you can see where that came from. That's fun. That's a pretty good a morph as well. You know, like whenever he deviates from the original drawings, it's fun too. But like, what is this?
Mm-hmm. That original looks like is bizarre. Eisner water.
Yeah, it's probably it looks like an old comic to me, but a very strange one. I do see value in this, you know, speaking to what you were saying, Tom. I look at, like, some of the folds and things, and it's stuff that I would never know how to draw. And it's like, why not draw, find that guy in the suit that looks good or the car that is impossible to model?
Yeah, that's
a different
kind of
way
stuff.
To do, like, reference.
Like, the one I can remember was, like, a Dan DiCarlo and drawing roller skates. And it's like, oh, yeah, roller skates, cool.
Makes me wish there were more books like this, but also I don't know how many people are like Charles Burns that would just want to look at, you know, that kind of a sketchbook study.
Man, he really added life to that.
Yeah, some of the ones that are really beat up photocopies, I think add a bunch, gives them room to interpret them. I think you get to see some of where his interests lie as well. That looked like something out of Free Stuff, his zine.
I think that's that Bill Ward dude. Torchy, I think.
A nice choice. Giving her the hatchet.
You know, and you don't know where your stories are going to come from, so sometimes you just got to, like, prime your subconscious, and this seems like a really good way to do that.
I think a lot of filmmakers and some of these cartoonists work that way, where, you know, you start with an image and you build your story out from there. That's another one of those kind of Clive Barker-esque scribble sketches that Burns does. It's neat to see his style here because it never gets published, this kind of scratchiness. You know, only whenever you see an excerpt from his sketchbook do you see that kind of stuff.
This one's awesome because in that comic art magazine, this panel was lifted in like three or four other comics with almost all the same stuff. Oh, yeah, there
You can see at least two versions of it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet if you started looking, if you had access to those comics, you'd find a lot more than two versions of that. more Dan Clowes. It's interesting to see him applied to stuff like comic strip art and, you know, funny animal kid kind of art, like Golden Age art, and then to something alternative where his filter works for all of it.
We just passed up a Kniff piece, and there is Kniff in Burns, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's built into his style. And then when you take a look at his dad's morgue files. A lot of Kniff.
Kniff is sort of like the Kirby, where if you're not looking directly at Kniff, you're still like, it's almost ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's probably two or three generations where there's Kniff in everybody. Another one of those multiple panel.
It's a grand tradition.
Although that looks like him. Like, yeah. I bet that comes from a sketchbook where he did a quick study and then did a bigger study. That's a pretty different style.
It's like his early period. Like when you take a look in the earliest kind of raws or like those collections of his stuff that shows the coloring books he made in the 70s, he uses that deadline.
I think this was used somewhere. I feel like I've seen this image in something.
It was in that comic art magazine as well.
We'll have to dig those out one of these days.
Yeah, those are valuable resources.
You know, I don't know who this is, but that feels like that could be a 50s, 60s kind of comic book.
Paul Gravatt probably covered that in that Leather Nun book.
Fun to see the spiral binding, like the actual sketchbook that he's photocopying. And a photograph. How about that?
And I feel like that's like one of his characters. So I don't know if that was the origin.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like for Black Hole, if he was pulling stuff out of yearbooks and things.
Yeah, his own yearbook, you know?
That'd be even better. That's pretty awesome. Like, that's Eisner, right?
Yeah.
The lighting's so good. Makes me wonder, like, what makes him pick an image? And there's quite a variety, so I'm sure there's different stuff for all of it, but.
Rob Liefeld.
Continuing with that Julie Doucet image from the beginning.
Yeah,
and just
like
getting more and more abstracted.
That's fun.
Or more and more burns.
Cover
and there's
piece.
Your cover. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what this is. Spanish language, so I don't know whether that's an older comic, a graphic novel, like a European graphic novel. Who knows? It's a good fit. And then just evolution of Burns sketches into a more refined drawing. That's really fun. I love these kind of anatomy type drawings. That's Kniff, right?
Wonder? Could be Wonder.
Yeah.
You know, there's some weird stuff there.
There's definitely some weird stuff. Great line, you know, great unusual marks for like an eyebrow or a furrowed brow. This does make me want to kind of do this.
Yeah.
Like as a warm-up exercise, as a on the road, something to do.
You know, I wish that I knew that that's what this was, because in the comic art magazine, there definitely were examples of this. And, mm-hmm. and I did this for like a month, and I have some versions of that.
I love the ones that are series too. Each step. It's really cool to see how far he pushes it. Such an abstract version of a dog by the end. I mean, like, that feels like an old Golden Age comic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jay Disbrow or somebody.
Like a pre-code horror comic. How strange that jawbone is.
Yeah.
It's pretty consistent.
Yeah, there are a couple things, man. There was some interesting drapery on some of these guys that he was drawing from the old comics.
That has to be a weird piece. I notice it sometimes whenever, like, if I'm inking something, even if it's my own thing, and I haven't worked out the pencils underneath, and it's like, what is this line supposed to be? Found photo. And then, like I said, here's your list of source material for all of that stuff. So, kind of a cool book. Like I said, I would love more of these kinds of things. You know, I'd imagine, like, any of my favorite cartoonists, if they did this kind of exercise, I'd be interested in taking a look at it for both their drawing, but also just seeing, like, what kind of images attract them and you know, draws them to those images.
Yeah, heck of an exercise.
Nice book, too.
He's such a precise artist. It's not like we're going to get thousands and thousands of pages worth of Charles Burns comics. So you get it in where you can fit it in. Super happy to look at this. Good to go, guys?
Yep.
Kay favors, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. Jimmy, what's out there?
Patreon.com/JimRug. You can download my out-of-print zines and mini-comics. You can see my original art, scripts, notes, and basically the process, how I make the comics I make, at patreon.com/JimRug.
Red Room Comics in the Wild, Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit. Two issues on the stands as of today, but the third one's coming out within a couple of weeks. Every issue completely self-contained. get them at your local comic shop, pre-order them from the Fantagraphics website, or you can read the comics on my Patreon, patreon.com/edpiskor. $3 for the archive there, and there are well over 100 pages worth of comics up there right now.
Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics, Fantastic Four Grand Design. Check out my Patreon and my YouTube channel, Total Recall Show.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
All right, man. Let's go get our Raphael brushes locked and loaded. Give them the marching orders. We'll be on our way, Jimmy.
Make more comics.